Now let's dive into the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 9. Acts chapter 13, we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 9 as we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the book of Acts. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're in the Old Testament on Wednesdays and going through the book of Judges and going through the story of Samson. We're just having a great time going through the Word of God. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to say to us today. Lord, speak into our hearts. Give us ears to hear it. Unclog our ears from the noise of this world, Lord. And we pray that your Spirit will take the Word of God and apply it into our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 13, looking at verses 4 through 9, the title of this message is, It's Time to Go, Part 2. It's Time to Go, Part 2. Now, in part 1 of this study, we saw how the Holy Spirit said in verse 2, Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And this came after the men in verse 1 understood their gifts and they ministered to the Lord. And after they had fasted and prayed, according to verse 3, now they understood that it was time to go. The question is, where did they go? Look at verses 4 and 5. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their assistant. Now, the first thing I want to point out in verse 4 is how the Holy Spirit was very instrumental in the leading and guiding of the apostles in the early church. Even though the church leaders in Antioch laid hands on Saul and Barnabas and sent them away in verse 3, it is obvious that the sending was by the Holy Spirit, according to the first part of verse 4. They went down to Seleucia, which was 16 miles away near the mouth of the Orontes River. Seleucia served as the port of the city of Antioch. And once there, they took a boat to Cyprus, which was 60 miles off of the Syrian coast. Now, why did they choose to first go to the city of Cyprus? Why would they go there? Well, number one, we know that the Holy Spirit sent them there. We saw that in verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit sent them there. But number two, don't miss this. According to Acts 4 and verse 36, it was the hometown of Barnabas. Don't miss this important point. God works supernaturally in a natural way. Oh, yes, God sent them to Cyprus, but they also wanted to go to Cyprus. It is both. Many people say, well, you know, I don't want God to send me to Timbuktu. And I always ask them, do you want to go to Timbuktu? No. Well, then God's not going to send you to Timbuktu. If he wanted you to go to Timbuktu, he will put it in you to go to Timbuktu. But you don't want to go. So he's not going to send you there. Watch this. Why am I here in Virginia? Because God sent me here from California. But I also wanted to come here. It is both. Just like Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God works in us, meaning that God will place and give us the desire to do what he wants us to do. So if God wanted me in Virginia, he put it in me that gave me the desire to come to Virginia. So why am I in Virginia? God sent me here. Why am I in Virginia? Because I wanted to come. It's very simple as that. Oh, the same thing is true with Saul and Barnabas. God sent them out on their first missionary journey to go to Cyprus. But they wanted to go, especially Barnabas, because it was his hometown and he knew he needed to start there. Well, this is the second thing I want to bring to your attention. We must first be a missionary at home before we ever try to be a missionary anywhere else. We see this in the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5, which says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he be able to take care of the house of God?" Well, it's a rhetorical question, meaning that he can't. The man called to ministry must first be a minister at home before he ever tries to be a minister at church. Oh, we see it here. Barnabas wanted to first learn how to be a missionary at home in his hometown before he goes out and tries to be a missionary around the world. Oh, this is very true. This is why I've seen a lot of people in ministry, a lot of men in ministry, where they're coming to the church and they're serving in some capacity at the church. But because they don't serve at home, because they're not a minister at home, because they're not that at home, then their wives despise the ministry. Because they're looking at the guy doing all this stuff for everybody at church and comes home and does nothing. This is why the word of God is very clear. We must first be a minister at home before we try to be one at the church. We have to be a missionary at home before we ever try to be one at the church. Ladies, for you serving, and you serving everybody, you come to the church and you serve. Are you serving your husband at home? Are you serving your children? Are you serving at home? See, we must first do it at home before we ever try to do it at the church. This is why I believe Barnabas went to his hometown on his first missionary journey. Yes, God sent him there, but he also wanted to go there. He said, before I ever try to go out and be a missionary around this world, I got to first do it at home. And so they arrived in Salamis, which was the main port city. And they wanted to reach the large Jewish population in that area, so they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, this is John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, according to Colossians 4:10. It says in Colossians 4:10, it says the cousin of Barnabas. See, there's no Greek word for nephew. So it can be translated as cousin or some kind of relative like that. But he was really his nephew. And we know from Acts 12:12 that John Mark was from Jerusalem. And when Saul and Barnabas took financial relief to the church there because of a severe famine, John Mark came back with them to Antioch. And now he is a part of the team on their first missionary journey, being one of their assistants. Oh, look what it says there in verses 6-8. Now, when they had gone through the island of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Now, here is this missionary team headed out with joy and excitement. They were so excited that verse 6 says that when they had gone through the whole island to Paphos, which was the capital of Cyprus, the southwest coast, it was on the southwest coast. It was also known for being the center for the worship of Aphrodite, or her Roman name is Venus, which was the goddess of love. The greatest festival in Cyprus in honor of Aphrodite was the Aphrodisia, which was held for 3 days in the spring, that was attended by great crowds from all around Cyprus and other countries. The women living there had to commit to being a temple prostitute at least once in her lifetime. It was a sad place, but a place near and dear to the heart of Barnabas. Now we look at this as being terrible and say, how can these women commit? And who are they to make them commit to being a temple prostitute at least one time in their lives? Well, it's no different in our country. They're temple prostitutes in Cyprus. There's women standing on corners right now. Men standing on corners right now. Or to dress it up, in our country we have call girls and call boys and call men to try to dress it up. We have strip bars and strip clubs and all kind of mess going on in our country. So don't look down on these women and what they were doing here in the city of Cyprus, committing to one time in their lifetime of being a temple prostitute. It's no different in our country that we live in. It's sad. And it's a sad, sad, sad place do we live in. And here's the thing. Barnabas had a heart. He had a heart. He had a heart for those people because they were his people. Do you have a heart for them, or do you always got to give them your anger and not your prayers? Do you look at this world and you turn your nose up and you squint your eyes and you, oh, these wicked people? Or do you have a heart to reach them like Barnabas? Barnabas had a heart to reach his people. He saw how lost they were. Do you have a heart the way you get God's heart? Because Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. Do you have that kind of heart? Do you have that same heart? In order to get that heart, you got to be near to Jesus. You got to be near to him. You draw near to him through prayer. And so here it is. They had that heart to reach these people. Now, whenever God wants to use his people to further the gospel, oh, Satan will always stir up opposition to try to stop it. I say this because when the team got to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. The Greek word for sorcerer is magos. And it does not always have to have a negative connotation. We know that the magi, which also another form of this word, the magi came from the east to see Jesus as a toddler, according to Matthew 2 in verse 1. However, Luke, the author, tells us how Bar-Jesus, whose name means son of salvation, was being used by Satan because not only was he an evil magician, but he was also a false prophet, a Jew, coming off like he's someone spiritual, coming off like that, but he was a false prophet. To show you the evil plans of Satan to influence people in charge of rulings and making important decisions, he attached himself to a Roman official whose name was Sergius Paulus, who happened to be a proconsul, which means that he was possibly the governor of Cyprus, according to verse 7. You know, I most definitely believe that Satan is still attaching himself to those in charge of a nation, a state, or local on a local level in making decisions and passing laws. This is why we're told in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, to pray for those who are leaders over us, especially our president, and those in charge of making decisions and passing laws. We see here that Satan loves to attach himself to people like this. It's amazing because we see it in Daniel chapter 10. It's not on the screen for you note takers. In Daniel chapter 10, we see an amazing story there. How this angel came to give Daniel an answer to his prayer. And he said, look, Daniel, I was held up for 21 days. He said the prince of Persia, or that demonic spirit overseeing Persia or modern day Iran, he said, he hindered me from getting to you. He said, but I have to hurry up and get back because the prince of Greece is coming. Meaning that the demonic spirit that would oversee Greece, the Grecian empire that was possibly another couple of hundred years from taking place on the earth. This angel said, I got to go back and fight with him because he's on his way. Demonic spirits want to oversee countries. to influence laws, influence those making the laws. We see it here. Here it is. Bar Jesus attached himself to the governor of Cyprus, the overseer of Cyprus, to influence him to make laws that are anti-godly, anti-spiritual. That's why every law that's being passed in my beloved country that has anything to do with being ungodly, unrighteous, unbiblical. Let's get the Bible out. Let's get prayer out. Let's not talk about Jesus. Don't mention Jesus at graduations. Don't mention Jesus in your prayers as you open up an invocation. All of that is influenced by the same spirit that influenced Bar Jesus here. It's Satan himself. And this is why he still is trying to attach himself to all of those who are making decisions and making rulings around this world, especially in my nation. And this is why we're told we should be praying for our president, praying for those in authority on a national level, on a state level, and on a local level. You constantly making fun and poking fun at him. How would you like it if you constantly had Satan himself trying to influence all of your decisions? And here it is. We're told to pray for them. And you call him orange and don't even call his name, just number 45 and all this kind of mess. You need to repent of that. You need to give him your prayers. You need to give our governor your prayers. You need to give our city council member and mayors your prayers. Anyone in authority, because Satan will try to use people to influence them to make rulings and laws that are anti-godly, anti-biblical. And so that's straight Bible right there. You don't have to like it. It's tight, but it's right. That was somebody told me. It's tight, but it's right. And so here it is. We're given further description of Sergius Paulus here because Bar Jesus tried to influence this governor. He was a proconsul, meaning that he was a Roman official, possibly the governor. We give him some further description of him. It says that he was an intelligent man. Even though he was an intelligent man, he knew that earthly knowledge and wisdom didn't satisfy his soul. We know this because the end of verse 7 says this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Oh, even though he was, probably conducting an investigation into this new religion, sweeping the area of Cyprus throughout the Jewish communities, I think that he had a genuine interest in the word of God and hear what was going on. He couldn't believe what's going on in the area he's overseeing. So he wanted to hear the word of God. And I believe that there are a lot of people like this. In other words, there are a lot of people like Sergius Paulus around us who may be dabbling in all kinds of sorcery and horoscope and occult practices and Ouija boards and speaking to the dead and all kind of crazy stuff. And they're being influenced by negative people who have a genuine these people, they are being influenced by these negative people. These folks, I believe, really have an interest in the word of God. They have a genuine interest in the word of God, even though they're dabbling, even though they're fooling around with occult things, maybe because of this Bar Jesus that's influencing their life. And I believe that they have an interest in the things of God. And I just believe we need to keep our eyes out open for them, our eyes out for them. In other words, don't immediately dismiss someone who is intelligent and they have a high ranking position in this world as having no interest in the things of God. I'm telling you, you look at somebody who's a mayor or a governor or president or someone big and we say, they don't care about the things of God. Oh, I believe they do. I believe they do. A lot of them are curious about Christianity, biblical Christianity, not our version of Christianity, biblical Christianity. Can I just pause right here and just say this? Let me say this. I said earlier that Sergius Paulus was an intelligent man. Sergius Paulus was definitely an intelligent man. But here's the thing. He realized that his knowledge, didn't satisfy his soul. And maybe you're here today. And maybe you realize that knowledge, worldly wisdom and knowledge, doesn't satisfy your soul. No matter how many degrees you try to obtain, no matter how many degrees you try to get to try to somehow bring peace in your soul, no matter how many degrees you try to get. Now, I'm not against education, and you know that. But if you're trying to get worldly wisdom and education to satisfy your soul, to try to bring some sort of peace in your life, you're going to fall short, just like Sergius Paulus did. Even though he was an intelligent man, that knowledge didn't satisfy his soul. So he called for Barnabas and Saul to hear the word of God. And so to it. So too, the same thing is true here. You can obtain 50 degrees, but those degrees will not bring peace and a settlement in your soul. You're here today because no matter what you try to pursue, your pursuit is empty. And you know you need Jesus Christ. You need something. So you're curious about Christianity. You're curious about the things of God. So when we see a Sergius Paulus in our midst, when we see these types of people, don't write them off. Don't be so quick to write them off. Deep down inside, they have a void and they're trying to fill it with education. They're trying to fill it with occult practices. They're trying to fill it with relationships or drugs. They're trying to fill it. And that void can only be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. However, when we make contact with these people, be ready for the Bar Jesuses of this world to be unhappy, and they will withstand or oppose you from sharing with this important person. Oh, verse 8 says, but Elymas the sorcerer, for his name is translated in Greek, being a Jew, he had a Jewish name, which was Bar Jesus, is actually Aramaic. I'm going to go more in detail with that, God's will, next week. And he had a Greek name, which was Elymas. Now, Elymas does not translate into Bar-Jesus. Elymas was the Greek word for magi or magician. He sought to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Please realize that leading someone to Christ is not just an intellectual exercise. Yes, we should study apologetics. Apologetics doesn't mean we're apologizing for the Christian faith. It comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to give a defense of the Christian faith. Yes, we should study apologetics. Yes, we should give a defense of the Christian faith. But please understand that it goes far beyond an intellectual argument. Far beyond. You would think if I have all the answers, then when I give the answers to my coworkers and family members and friends, they're going to come to Christ. Ooh, not so fast. Not so fast. Doesn't always happen that way. We are in an all-out war against the forces of Satan for the souls of our family members and friends and co-workers. And he will use a Bar Jesus of this world to oppose us, to turn people away from the faith, meaning that as soon as you try to share with them, as soon as you have shared with them, Satan will send a Bar Jesus their way to try to turn them away from what you just said. And if you know someone like this, if you have a Sergius Paulus or someone like this, then just know that Satan will do all he can to, number one, keep them from you. And then number two, when you share anything about the Bible or God to them, just know that a Bar Jesus is coming around the corner to try to turn them away from what you just said. The point is, don't lose heart when you're battling for the souls of the Sergius Pauluses on your job or in your family. You have to battle for them. Don't miss this. You have to battle for them conversationally and prayerfully. Conversationally and prayerfully. Some people only use one or the other. They say, well, I've been battling with them. I've been having these conversations with them, but they're not praying for them. Or I've been just praying for them and praying for them, but they're not having a conversation with them. You have to battle for their souls conversationally and prayerfully. It's a battle. It's a battle. And don't forget, we're wrestling. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood like Ephesians 6 says, but against principalities and powers, against a spiritual host of wickedness in high places. We're not this thing. It's not flesh and blood. Try to see with the eyes of Jesus. Try to see beyond the flesh and blood. Try to see beyond the spouse, beyond the teenager, beyond the boss, the coworker. Try to see beyond the flesh of who's sitting in the White House or who's the governor or who's the mayor. See beyond that and see that there's a real enemy behind all of these folks. Look what it says there in verse 9. Said, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Now, how did the team respond to seeing what this false prophet was trying to do? Verse 9 says, then Saul, who was also called Paul. Ah, this is where Saul, whose name means requested one in Hebrew, is now changed to Paul, which means little. This is where it is officially changed in scripture. No longer did he want to identify himself as the requested one, but wanted to be known as little. Why? Because he understood how the Lord can take those who are little and do big things in and through them. Oh, this is a huge lesson for us to learn as well, because Proverbs 15 verse 33 says, before honor, there's humility. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. First Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he may exalt you in due time or due season. So if you're not being lifted up, if you're not being exalted, two things are taking place. Number one, you have not humbled yourself yet. Or number two, it's not your season. It's not your season. And if it is not your season, don't be jealous or envious over someone else because it is their season. Saying things like, well, you know, I've been here on this job longer. I've been on longer than them. How are they going to promote me over them? Who are they? Or I'm leaving this job because they don't appreciate me here. Oh, hold up, hold up. They appreciate you. They do. It's just not your season. It's just not your season. And don't think, well, see, if I go back and get more education, then, you know, maybe. I don't care if you go back and get 50 degrees. If it's not your season, it's not your season. And all that education going to do is puff you up with pride. It's not on the screen. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Or knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. All a bunch of knowledge is going to do is just puff you up with pride to think, oh, I deserve this. Not God has blessed you to have this position. That promotion neither comes from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord. He exalts one and put another down, Psalm 75 says. So no. You don't wait for the Lord to do it. You're like, no, I'm going to get all this education, all this training. All there's nothing wrong with education, nothing wrong with training. But just be careful because knowledge puffs up. It'll just puff you up and it won't bring your season any faster. If it's not your season, you can have 50 doctorate degrees. You won't get promoted. You won't be exalted. It's when you humble yourself. That's when exaltation comes. Just know it's just not your time. And until you see yourself as Paul, as little, it will never be your season, because before honor is humility. Isn't this what God told King Saul? King Saul puffed himself up, got himself in a lot of trouble, and God was about to get rid of him as king. And God said something through the prophet Samuel God says something in 1 Samuel 15:17 that's not on the screen for you note takers. God said this, watch this. He says, when you were little in your own eyes, I made you the leader over my people. Notice that. When you were small, when you were little in your own eyes, meaning that he had gotten away from being little in his own eyes. Now he's the king over Israel. Now he's filling himself. But God said, when you were little in your own eyes, that's when I exalted you. And it's not going to be until you're little in your own eyes that God will bring your season, that God, it will be due time for you. And God will exalt you, and you won't get that position and get the big head. You'll realize only God placed you there, and just as fast as he placed you there, he can take you down. And there'll be a humility about you. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear it. Get that resume offline. But they appreciate you. It's just not your season. It's not your season. So what did Paul say to the bar, you know, to bar Jesus, who was trying to turn Sergius Paulus away from the faith? What did Paul say to them? Well, you got to wait till next time. You got to wait until next time. I'm looking forward to being back with you to go more in detail of this bar Jesus, Sergius Paulus. There's some things I didn't have time to deal with this time. So I'm going to pick it up, God's will, in the next message. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper and see how this word is for our lives. Let me conclude with this. We talked about it's time to go. We saw that it was time for Saul and Barnabas to go on their first missionary journey, but they first went home. Because we must first be a missionary at home before we go anywhere else. The second thing we saw was when God instructed them to go, Satan brought opposition. And the same is true for us. When God instructs us to go, Satan will stir up opposition to oppose our efforts to try to get the gospel to people. So pray and talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Finally, Paul means little. And until you humble yourself and see yourselves as little, God will never do big things in and through you. We stay humble by staying in prayer, by being in God's presence. And our sin is in light of his holiness. Spend considerable amount of time in prayer. If you don't do nothing but start, hey, this is easy. Doing the commercials, pause, hit the pause button and just spend some time in prayer. Boop, turn it back on. You'll be able to fast through the commercials, fast forward through the commercials. And you next time, boop, spend some time. That's what you can start. Spend considerable amount of time, and then you'll find yourself pausing more than you looking, because you'll enjoy God's presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. May you know those pleasures. May you experience that joy of being in his presence. And God will see, there's someone, there's another Paul there, someone who's little. And let me exalt them, because they won't take the credit. They won't get the big head. That's a person, that's a man or woman who spends time in my presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to study your word. God, I just pray for anyone here who has not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, that they will see their sin, that they need to repent of their sin, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Lord, I pray. You said if they confess that, they will be saved. And Lord, I pray for those who have been a little cocky and arrogant, upset, mad at you because it's not their season. And it's because they have not humbled themselves. They don't see themselves as little in your eyes. Oh God, I pray that they will come forward and repent of their pride and their cockiness and their ego. Oh Lord, do a work in the hearts and minds of your people today in Jesus' name. Amen.